let's return to positive living with Patricia Raskin on TalkZone.com.
Well, hello, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Positive Living, and I'm Patricia Raskin. We have a very important program for you today, and it's very hopeful. It's really about hope and resilience, coping with loss. My guest today is Heather Summerhays Carew, and she dealt with her sister's loss. And in her memoir, 65 Roses, she talks about how we can experience joy and laughter even when we're fighting for our lives. And it's a story really of survival and of hope. And you can log on to 65rosesthebook.com. You can also give us a call at 888-GO-FOR-IT if you are going through a loss, have been through a loss, or have questions for Heather about how do you make it, you know, and how do you have a normal life, if there's such a thing as a normal life after this. And welcome back, Heather. Let's talk about that. Is there a new normal, or was there a sense of normalcy during your childhood and after?
Well, I think for everyone, normal is what you're living with, because you don't know anything else.
Yes.
So for me, normal was growing up in a house where there were two children who had chronic terminal illness, and we had a lot of physical therapy. There was coughing in late into the night, and our sleep was often disturbed. There was a lot of pill-taking, inhalation therapy, things like that going on that I noticed were not going on in the homes of my friends when I went to visit their houses after school and played. But certainly there were probably things going on in those houses that I wasn't aware of that might have been not normal for me, but perfectly normal for those people. So this whole idea of what's normal is very interesting, and I have an entire chapter in the book where I discuss that. Normal is sort of like the real world, the world you have to go into, and I think that when you're dealing with an illness in your family of any type, there's the normal that's within your four walls, and then there's the normal that's out in what we call the real world. And so often you might feel like you're living parallel lives, and that the real world out there is the normal world and the one at home isn't, or vice versa. And that can certainly be a stressful situation where you're you've got a foot in one world and a foot in the other. And quite often your family and your friends and neighbors and colleagues at work don't really know what it is you're dealing with at home. Sometimes you don't want them to know what it is you're really dealing with at home, because you want to appear capable and strong and like you've got it all pulled together.
So how did you find joy and meaning in a world of pain and uncertainty? I mean, how did your family band together and have the faith?
You know, honestly, we used to laugh a lot. Pam and I particularly laughed a lot. We had kind of an unspoken signal between each other. And sometimes that laughter could come out of a very morbid sense of humor. But I discovered, again, through watching Pam and how she dealt with her life and her illness, that she chose to look at the world not with rose-colored glasses, but she chose to find something beautiful in the world every day. And she always succeeded. And she chose to find a moment of joy. And if she couldn't find one, she would try to create one. And I think that very much gave her a sense of power. And that actually would be the second, what I call the second pillar of her legacy to me and to anyone who reads the book. She discovered that the only real power any of us have in our lives is our power to choose our response to our circumstances. So she would say that when we can't change our circumstances, we're challenged to change ourselves. So in our power of choice, we can choose love or we can choose bitterness. We can choose to close ourselves off or open ourselves up. We can choose blame or we can choose forgiveness. And those choices are what gives us our power. And of course, the more positive choices you make, the more power you have, because negative choices diminish our power. So she would literally choose faith over fear. She would choose joy over despair. Not to say that she didn't have moments of despair. She certainly did, and we all did. We had many of them.
So it's really a choice, isn't it, Heather? It's a choice.
I think many times it is. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to have a day where you go down to your despair and pull your covers over your head. Sometimes you have to do that. It's not, when I say choosing joy, it's not about living in a state of denial about the other feelings or about the pain in your body.
Yes.
But it is making a choice to rise above it. And you may not always be totally successful, but the idea is to keep yourself moving in that direction. Sometimes the acts of courage, the biggest acts of courage are the quietest ones.
And what are some of the most beautiful memories that you remember?
Of Pam?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, back to her laughter, because she had a very ready and contagious laugh, and she could find something funny in almost every situation. I remember we used to, when we were kids, we would love to throw ourselves down a hill. The two of us would love to climb to the top of the hill, which took a great deal of energy for her because she could hardly breathe. But then we'd lay down and we'd roll down the hill together and laugh and laugh and laugh and then go back up again. Wonderful memories of her when she was an early childhood education teacher, and I would sometimes go and visit her at her school, and she would be in the circle reading to the kids. And at that time, she was on oxygen 24 hours a day, so she had this huge oxygen tank sitting next to her with the tube leading up to her nose. But she'd be sitting there with the biggest grin on her face, reading a wonderful story, Dr. Seuss or something, to these 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds. And or watching her, you know, go with them out on a field trip to pick out pumpkins for Halloween and that sort of thing. We used to have wonderful, when we were teenagers, beauty nights. Twiggy was the big model at the time. And Pam was very, very skinny like Twiggy. So I would make her up to look like Twiggy and draw the eyelashes on her and put on the white lipstick and we'd fall in laughing again.
All right. We're going to tell folks that if you're listening to this, and today my guest is Heather Summer Hayes Carew, and her book is a memoir of her sister, 65 Roses, and it's about her sister's life. She was a survivor until she died of cystic fibrosis, and how Heather went through this as childhood and the strength that it gave her. If you're going through loss and you'd like to call, Heather speaks all over the country to groups and is very involved in the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, and part of the proceeds of the book will go to that foundation. Heather, how did you come up with the title 65 Roses?
Well, that was easy, because when Pam was little, she couldn't pronounce the name of her disease, cystic fibrosis. So she used to tell people she had 65 roses.
Oh,
she would just pronounce it. And a lot of the little kids do it, and you almost did it 5 minutes ago.
I know. It's hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Cystic fibrosis. Yes, it took me. I was stuttered a little bit.
I'd love to tell people that I also do book clubs. If there's book clubs out there that want to read the book, they can contact me, because my email's on the back of every book. And I will do book club appearances either in person or by phone.
All right.
And, you know, it's a funny coincidence that your call-in number is Go For It, because at one point Pam was a big fan of the music of John Denver. And he was coming to play in Toronto at the Canadian National Exhibition, and she had tickets to go, and then became quite ill and had to go in the hospital and couldn't go. And I tried to get him to come to the Hospital for Sick Children and make an appearance. I wrote a letter to him, and he didn't come to the hospital to make an appearance, but he did phone her at the hospital. And he said to her over the phone, "I have this phrase, it's go for it. And whatever it is you want in your life, you know, I want you to just think, I'm going to go for it." And she was so tickled by this, and she really adopted it. We'd never heard that phrase, go for it, before.
You know, one of the other things that also, and I'm hearing what you're saying about go for it, is your father went for it. He's the founding president of the Canadian Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. Now, that's pretty amazing. Did he create that?
He did. He and my mother did together. They of course, had nowhere to turn when Pam was diagnosed because they were told that there was no treatment and no cure. There were no clinics. There were really very few doctors that knew anything about it. And they were both in their early 20s from a small town in Canada, not really worldly people to speak of, not college educated, but they refused to accept the situation they were given where they were told there was nothing that could be done. So they placed an ad in Canada's national newspaper, the Globe and Mail, telling people that anyone who was interested in forming this organization should meet at the hospital on May 23rd, 1959, which happened to be my seventh birthday. They also wrote about 150 personal letters to people they knew had CF children. And on that day, over 100 people showed up. Some of them had driven many hundreds of miles. Some of them had their sick children in their arms. And they looked at my dad and said, "Are you going to do something to help us?" And he said, "Yes," even though he didn't know what that would mean. But again, I think this is an example of making a choice in a situation in which you feel powerless, making a choice to use your power in whatever way you can. And I think that took a great deal of courage and faith, but I want to emphasize that they were ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances. So
all right. Now, on that note, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
My guest today is Heather Summerhays Cario. She's the author of 65 Red Roses, a sister's memoir where she pays homage to her sister who died of cystic fibrosis. And this is a beautiful memoir, a roller coaster full of tears and laughters and joy and sorrow. And it's the story of one's family battle to keep a family together and Pam alive. Folks, when we come back, you're welcome to give us a call at 888-GO-FOR-IT. If you've been through loss or are going through loss, Heather can give you some pointers and also speaks to groups all over the country and abroad regarding not just cystic fibrosis in terms of how to cope, but coping with loss in general. So you're listening to Positive Living. I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on TalkZone.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.